A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 25. Talvode. Din woke up to a stabbing headache. He rolled over, shoving his face into a pillow, and groaned. Light splintered around the edges of his eyes, harsh and bright. "Sorry," Boba rumbled from somewhere above Din. His voice was rough with sleep. He had woken Din up when he'd moved, though Din didn't remember feeling Boba get up or get out of bed. "Go back to sleep, Jerrica. I'll close the blast doors when I go." "Go?" Din mumbled. His mouth still tasted like sand. The pillow he'd buried his head in was warm and soft. Din counted to 5 in his head, then unstuck himself from the pillow, squinting. The cause of his headache quickly became apparent. Boba had opened the blast doors all around the room. It had been just barely dawn when Din had fallen asleep, tucked comfortably into Boba's side. They were well past dawn now. The suns were bright and fierce and high in the sky, and the light they poured into Boba's rooms was uncompromising. Din groaned again, flopping back down in bed for a moment. Burying his head in the pillow did nothing to soften the edges of his headache. "How long did we sleep?" Din rasped. 6 or 7 hours, give or take," Boba replied. Din looked up again. Boba hadn't pulled his flight suit or his armor on yet. His cheek was creased with the pattern left by his bedsheets, and his jaw was dark with stubble. Din yawned, jaw cracking, and rolled over so he could sit up. He ran a hand through his hair, which he was sure was sticking up wildly, curls in every direction, and slowly, carefully, stretched. The bruises on his back filled him with slow, deep, warm pain. The sharp edges of his headache faded. "Go back to sleep," Boba repeated softly. "You don't have to be up." "I'm fine," Din disagreed. He rolled his shoulders just to feel another deep ache, like pressing down hard on a bruise, and stood up. 6 or 7 hours is a pretty good night for me. Boba snorted, but didn't push. "For me, too," he said. He looked Din up and down appraisingly. "How are you?" "Better," said Din, truthfully. He meant it, too. His head hurt, but that was fading. There was an ache somewhere in his chest, twin stones of grief. He'd lost his tribe, his people. Everyone who'd needed to know that knew it now. And he'd maybe lost something from Boba, too, something Din hadn't known that he'd wanted or that he'd thought he could have. His conversation with Fennec, her warning, pressed against his ribs. But even those hurts had faded some. Din had lost his tribe months ago. "And Boba doesn't owe me anything," Din thought. "You telling the truth?" Boba asked. Din snorted. "I am," he said, squinting against the light again. He looked Boba up and down. "How are you?" Boba spread his hands. "Alive," he said, tone lightening. "And rested. Mostly. You kick in your sleep." "And you hang on like an anaconda," Din retorted. He had vague memories of rolling over sometime after sunrise and finding both of Boba's arms curled around him. It had been nice, so Din hadn't bothered trying to wiggle free. "Now that I think about it," he thought, blinking as his eyes adjusted to the sun's, "I'm surprised I didn't feel him get out of bed." Din was a light sleeper, usually. The first few weeks he'd had Grogu, Din had jerked awake any time the kid had so much as twitched in his hammock. "I must have been more tired than I thought." Boba just shrugged, unrepentant. "You hungry?" he asked. "Since you're determined to be awake." "I could eat," Din said, accepting Boba's peace offering. "Can I use your fresher?" Boba nodded and waved Din off. Din didn't need a full sonic, not after swimming in the pool, but he stepped in anyway, letting the vibrations jostle him awake. His headache spiked, but Din's days of nausea and vertigo with the slightest change in noise or pressure were over. Din was relieved. The medroid on the light cruiser would be happy, as much as a medroid could be. He flexed his right arm absently while the sonic did its job. His wrist hurt where he'd fallen on it in the Dune Sea, still bruised from his brush with the concussion grenades on the road to Mos Eisley, but given all the abuse Din had put his arm through since he'd landed on Tatooine, his first brush with Jalto, several spars, the concussion grenade, his sloppy landing in the desert, the fact that his arm hadn't broken again was a positive sign. Maybe droids do know what they're doing, Din thought, remembering IG-11's photoreceptors, its little attempt at humor while it had been shoving Din's brain back inside his skull. He pulled a face. Still don't like them much. Boba seemed to have a similar dislike of droids. He kept a few protocol droids around the palace, and A2 was a repurposed CNR class E-522, but those were the only droids Din had seen around. A2 was Zero's, anyway. Din wasn't sure that Boba would have sought A2 out and recruited him if Zero hadn't dragged him along. Jabba kept IGs and KXs, Din thought. Did Boba get rid of them, or did Bib Fortuna lose them somehow? From what Din had learned from Fennec and Nora's gossip, Bib Fortuna had misplaced or gambled away most of Jabba's empire, and what he hadn't lost at the Sabacc table or the pod races he'd sold off to cover his growing debts. Maybe he'd lost Jabba's IGs and KXs that way. IG-11 had turned out to be a useful ally, but Din couldn't say that he missed having droids around. Din stepped out of the sonic, more awake now even if his headache had migrated to the back of his head and lodged itself like a piece of shrapnel behind his right ear, and went to the sink to splash water over his face and work some through his hair, taming the mess it had become overnight. He ran damp fingers down the edge of his jaw, too, brushing past the stubble that had grown there. Din looked more like himself now, still graying at the corners of his jaw, still missing a patch of hair on one side of his chin. His reflection, at least, looked decently rested, though, which was a good change. The shadows that had lingered under Din's eyes after the chaos in the light cruiser had faded. Satisfied that he was at the very least presentable, Din left the fresher and rejoined Boba, who still hadn't bothered to armor up for the day. Din took that as an invitation to tug on a shirt. He wasn't sure if it was his or Boba's, and padded over to join Boba at the work table. "Sit," Boba invited. Din shrugged and did. Boba watched him out of the corner of his eye and then looked away, a pleased little expression crossing his face. Din resisted the urge to roll his eyes. I scared him, he thought. Jumping for the sky like Din had, he'd scared Boba. Guilt flickered in his stomach. Boba had enough to deal with, enough to be worried over. Din let his guilt gnaw at him for a minute, then pushed it aside. What had already happened. It wasn't something that Din could change or undo. He didn't reach for his jetpack, though, which was still propped up just out of reach. Boba had kept Din's spear where Din had left it, too, leaning against the work table. Din settled and contented himself with rolling his shoulders again, fabric bunching across his back, and with swiping one of Boba's datapads. Boba let him, engrossed in his own datapad, so it was unlikely that the pad held any secrets. Din scrolled through it briefly and found that it was a record of trade routes, notes on passes through the desert, a list of way stations between Mos Eisley and Mos Gamos, even the calculations for hyperspace lanes between Tatooine and what looked like half the galaxy. Interested, Din swapped the datapad for another, flicking through the first few files. The second pad was a collection of files, too, except it had information about beings instead of trade routes. Each file was set up like a Bounty Hunter's Guild dossier, with an image, a description, and a list of known locations underneath each name, though the general layout was the only thing any of the files seemed to have in common. Boba had records on humans, on Deveronians, on Wookiees, on Twi'leks, Hutts, Pikes, Peladuvians, Trandoshans, Rhodians, Feline, Tuskens, even on a male Zabrak who stared up at Din through the screen with a scowl on his face, his thick black tattoos fearsome and stark. "Is this everyone you've ever met?" Din asked, still flipping between files. Boba had even classified them all. His system was simple enough to follow. Boba had sorted everyone into three categories. Ally, like Fennec Shand in a green Trandoshan with a scar on his muzzle. Enemy, like the Zabrak and most of the pikes and huts. And target, under which category Din found the illustrious Han Solo, who turned out to be an ordinary-looking human man. Din was a little disappointed. He'd expected more from someone who'd managed to get the drop on Boba. "Not everyone," said Boba, voice rich with amusement. "You're not in there, if that's what you're asking." Din rolled his eyes. Han Solo's file was several years out of date. The most recent entry was dated from back before the Empire had fallen. "What do you use all of this information for?" he asked. "You're not hunting anymore, are you?" "Not really," said Boba. His eyes had turned up at the corners. "I've got you around for that. But, I don't know. It's a habit I got into. Helps me keep track of things." "That's a word for it," Din muttered. Some of the individual files were very thin, but some were full of observations, pages and pages of notes. "How do you keep track of things when you hunted for the guild?" Boba asked. "You keep any sort of records? I've got probably 6 or 7 pads that are just as full as that one." Din shrugged. "Flimsy can get expensive," he said, "and data pads break." He'd kept track of everything in his own head, mostly. The Razorcrest Navcomp had kept track of hyperspace lanes and escape routes, but the rest of it, the movements of his bounties, the shifting alliances between syndicates, everything else Din had needed to know to do his job, he'd kept in his head. Boba chuckled. "That why you get headaches?" Din half reached for his head, which was still throbbing lowly behind his ear, then realized he'd given himself away and scowled. "No," he said. "I'm pretty sure those are just from everything else." Multiple blows to the head, the stress of the last few days, the lingering tension Din could still feel in the pit of his stomach like a hunted animal. Boba's chuckle faded. "How bad is it today?" "It's not bad," Din assured him, setting the data pad down. "Really, it's just..." "Been a rough few days?" Boba suggested. Din snorted. "Yeah," he said. "Let's go with that." Boba made a noncommittal noise low in his throat. There was a chime over by the turbolift. Din tensed before he remembered that no one else but Fennec could get in here, and Boba stood. "That'll be breakfast," he said. "Oh." Din relaxed. "Need a hand?" Boba shook his head. He left Din at the work table, data pads scattered everywhere. The one Boba had been looking over still had its screen up. It looked like a schematic. Din resisted the urge to stick his nose in and waited. He didn't have to wait long. Within a minute, Boba was back, balancing a platter across one forearm, 2 steaming mugs in his hands. "Ushib's back in the kitchens," Boba reported, depositing a cup in front of Din. "Which means that your brother survived the morning, at least." Boba had brought up calf for himself and Din, and the platter was loaded with a variety of small foods. "That's good," Din said, settling on as neutral a word as he could manage. His heart kicked anyway, relief strong and sweet behind his teeth. "Pa's survived the night." Boba shot him a knowing look anyway. "I stayed down there with him for a minute," he said, "when we got back. The kids are all going to be fine," Ushib said. "The Verdike probably will too, though they wouldn't let her take a look at them until she'd looked at Vizsla." "And what'd she say about Paz's leg?" Din asked. He couldn't help himself. He wanted Paz to be all right, to live, even if it meant that Paz would likely try and hunt Din down later. But Boba only shrugged. "Haven't heard," he said. "She's good at what she does, though. If there's anything to be done, she'll do it." "If he lets her," Din muttered, thinking of Paz's particular dislike of outsiders. "Last I saw, he was stone unconscious," Boba said. He set the platter down between them, shoving data pads out of the way, and shrugged. "The Verdike made some noise, but they seemed to think Ushib's in Alor. What did you tell them? Strill said you went to visit when you got back."
"I did. I told them that Ushib was a Babuir."
Boba snorted. "A grandmother?" Din shrugged.
"Well, it worked," Boba said. "They let Ushib do what she wanted. I told her not to take off Izzel's helmet or the kids. She promised not to."
A breath Din didn't realize he'd been holding eased its way out of his chest. "Thank you," he said feelingly. "It's... whatever my feelings about the Creed are, it's important to pause. It'll be important to the kids, too." He said he adopted them.
"All of them?"
"Not Strill or Zhaig," Din said. They have a parent already. But I think he's stolen them, even if they don't take his name."
"Stolen them?"
Din shrugged again. "Yeah," he said. "You know, impress them enough that they'll join our... his tribe." Din corrected himself, wincing. "Instead of staying with their own covert. It happens." Boba was quiet for a minute. Din could tell that he wanted to say something, and that whatever he wanted to say was probably derogatory, because Boba busied himself with folding a piece of Jupor bread in half and using it like a spoon to scoop up a bit of some kind of reddish stew-like mixture that smelled like spices and smoke. Din eyed it, interested. "Mandalorian?" he asked, after Boba finished chewing. "Or Tusken?" Boba's eyebrows went up again. He seemed willing enough to let Din change the subject. "You haven't had Chuka?" Din shook his head. "The White Bantha live in the north," Boba remembered. His expression cleared. "Chuka's more common in the southern deserts. It's good, try it." Curious now, the spices did smell promising. Din took a piece of Jupor bread for himself and copied Boba, folding it in half and swiping it through the Chuka. There were all sorts of things in it. Cracked Jundabird eggs and crumbled Bantha cheese, flakes of salt, bits of green. Din took a healthy bite and hummed, pleased. Boba's face creased into a smile. "Good, right?" he said, as Din went in for another scoop. "I think Ushib's trying to impress you. Usually she just settles for Yasda or marching rations for her first meal." The Chuka, whatever it was spicy and sweet, full of peppers and red nebula onions in some kind of stewed sauce. It wasn't Tingilar by any stretch, but it was good and warm and filling. It was spicy enough that Din's mouth warmed, senses coming awake, and his headache faded some. "The spotted Anuba make this?" Din asked after he'd taken a few more bites. "When they can," said Boba, helping himself. "They're not growers or farmers, but they'll trade with the armored hides and the scattered stones for ingredients during the Maryat Haima, or whenever their paths cross."
"The Festival of Tents.
You went to one? Maryat Haima?" Din asked, interested, and even a little jealous. Boba inclined his head. "My third year with the spotted Anuba," he said. "I was 2 years too early," Din said. "What was it like?" Every 5 years, all of the Tusken tribes in the hemisphere made the journey through Tatooine's canyons and deserts and mountain ranges to gather for the Festival of Tents. Outsiders were almost never allowed to see it. It was the time when the Tuskens reviewed their history, shared news, when they took new chiefs, when marriages were arranged and young warriors sparred to exchange new techniques. It was also the only time that all of the tribes agreed to keep their peace with each other, outside of hunting season in the Jundland Canyons. No one, not even a sparring warrior, was allowed to spill blood during the Festival of Tents.
"Interesting," said Boba cryptically, though he was smiling. "It was... they didn't let me see all of it," he said. "But I was allowed to watch some of the Azagade, to join in on a few of the hunts."
"Tell me about it," Din said, eager to eat and prolong the feeling of calm that had settled over Boba's rooms. He took a sip of his calf, then another bite of the Chuka. Boba had called for Tamor, too, for a fresh Bantha yogurt and an assortment of dried berries and nuts. There was even a little copper pot of cream for Din's calf, which felt almost as indulgent as swimming in the pool felt. Din had never had cream on the Razor Crest. He'd drunk his calf black, wincing at the bitter taste that would always lodge itself behind his molars, or he'd bought a milk powder when he'd had the extra credits in his rations budget. Boba didn't seem to feel the same way about his own rations budget. As long as Din had been here, Boba's kitchen had always been well-stocked. Din wondered how much of that was Boba's preference and how much was just the way the palace was used to running. Jabba the Hutt had been famously indulgent. Boba watched Din for a moment.
"You don't have anywhere else to be?" he asked.
Din snorted.
"No."
It wasn't like Din could go down and have first meal with Paz and the Verdike. Are you holding court today? Din asked. Judging by the light in the desert, they'd missed Boba's usual morning session in the throne room by several hours. Boba shook his head. Fennec called off court for the day, said Boba. Same as yesterday. She'll have it off the whole week if she gets away.
Is that safe? Din asked, frowning.
Does it show weakness?
Fennec thinks there's a spy here if word gets back to Gorga.
Boba shrugged. Jabba held court only when it amused him, he said. Bib Fortuna hardly did it at all. And she's probably right, Fennec. It is what it is. Gorga likely knows he's made an impression already. Attacking you on the sand road was enough.
But you do it every day. Or nearly every day.
Boba often held court twice in a day. Once in the morning, and then again in the evening. Boba just shrugged again. I like a hands-on approach, he said. The old worm didn't pay enough attention to his business. Half of Tatooine was skimming credits off the top. I don't want to run the outfit like that.
Like Chud and Cheem, Din thought, remembering the two Weequay squabbling in front of Boba's throne. They'd been stealing from the shipments that were supposed to be delivered to Boba.
Oh, said Din, settling on the word because he didn't know what else to say.
Boba smiled.
I know what I'm doing, Jerrica, he said. I had a lot of time to think about it, after all. Wasn't much else to do inside the Sarlacc.
Din winced. How long were you in there? He asked. He knew that it was probably a dangerous topic. He couldn't imagine that Boba had enjoyed his time in the Sarlacc's belly. He traced some of Boba's acid scars with his eyes.
Boba snorted. Long enough, he said. It was hard to tell. It can keep you alive for a while. Not 1,000 years or any of the other Kark Jobb would like to spout off before he tossed some poor Decoud inside, but for a few days at least.
A few days being eaten alive. Din winced again.
I spent longer lying on my back in a tent in the desert, Boba said wryly. Much longer. Was almost a full year before I could take more than a few steps at a time.
How'd you get out? Din asked quietly. He set the last few scraps of Jaipur bread down.
Stubbornness, Boba said.
He paused.
And a rocket launcher.
He set his cup of calf down and showed Din the backs of his hands, the shiny scars there.
That's what most of this is. It wasn't the acid. Well, it wasn't all the acid. Sarlacc acid's weak. The first day was just irritating. The second day is when it started to bite. But most of this is because I detonated a rocket into its gut.
Garatine, Din muttered.
Boba chuckled.
Ganajaro, he said.
I've got a death wish, my dad would say. It worked, though.
The mention of Boba's father made Din freeze for a second, Fennec's warning ringing clear in his head. He tried to pass it off as a moment of deliberation, of turning Boba's words over in his head. But Din was worried that Boba'd seen his hesitation anyway.
And that killed the Sarlacc? Din asked, eager to turn the conversation away from Jango Fett.
Din didn't. Fennec warned me, he thought. She didn't warn Boba. I don't need to bother him with this.
That probably wasn't the thought that Din should have had. Keeping things from Boba was part of the reason why Din was in his current situation, why they were both sitting here at Boba's table, skirting around the edges of a dangerous, unpleasant conversation. Din had been Darmanda this entire time, and he hadn't said anything because
I was afraid, Din thought. Because I didn't want to say it. I was afraid of losing Boba's regard.
But she warned me, not him, Din thought. Fennec's words had been for him and not for Boba. If she had something she wanted to say to Boba, Din didn't doubt that Fennec would run Boba down later and pass her warnings off in private. Din took a drink of calf to buy himself a few more seconds, then looked up at Boba expectantly.
You'd think that someone would have tried to bomb the Sarlacc before, he elaborated. It had been in the desert for years, hadn't it?
Boba blinked, but answered Din's question. The rocket, it didn't kill it, he said. Not at first. Karking thing probably took another day to die, thrashing around with me still in its stomach. They're not easy to kill, Sarlax. Greater crates can do it, coming up from under the sand, but from above. If you tried to bomb one from outside it, it'd just close its beak. Its beak was hard as Beskar. But I was already inside. Din shuddered. He couldn't help himself. Din wasn't claustrophobic by any means. He'd fit himself into plenty of tight spaces before, including, briefly, the inside of a Krayt dragon. But to be trapped inside a creature like that, for days at a time, waiting to die. I don't like tight spaces anymore, looking out the window into the sunny desert. Close quarters, pressure. But I won in the end, and blowing the cark out of myself won me some respect with the spotted Anuba. Is that why Ushib gave you Alaina? Boba nodded. The Tuskens knew to avoid the Pit of Carcoon, he said. But they'd lost plenty of warriors in the learning. They've got long memories. The Sarlacc had been a hated enemy for generations. Din nodded thoughtfully. That makes sense. How'd you impress the Tuskens? Boba asked, tone curious. You won the Sun Rock over with the Krayt, right? I did, Din said. The White Bantha, well... He rubbed the back of his neck, embarrassed. The first time I was here on Tatooine, I was young. Dikutla, Din said, since he knew what that word meant now. Boba's mouth curled up. Got your shoves kicked in, didn't you? I did, said Din ruefully. I'd set out to prove to the covert that I was an adult, a warrior, ready to take my place in the tribe. She, my Allure, let more of us out back then. We weren't quite as fiercely hunted. So my whole age group was turned loose, and we went all over the galaxy to try to prove that we were adults. I landed here. 3 weeks after the rainy season. Boba winced. He seemed to know instinctively what Din was talking about. What had happened when Din, young and stupid and too proud to ask any of the locals about what dangers might lay in the desert, had set off to prove himself in the sands. Yeah, Din said, smiling despite himself. Tatooine did, despite its general inhospitability and harsh environment, have a rainy season. It lasted 2 or 3 standard weeks, and following it the whole desert would bloom, bantha grass covering the dunes, flowers sprouting up along all of the ridges. And a few weeks after the rains brought relief to the desert and its inhabitants, male bladebacks started looking for females, driven by the ancient instinct to pair off and breed while resources were plentiful and the desert not quite so harsh. A bladeback boar in rut was dangerous even to fully prepared, skilled hunters. Din had been 20. He hadn't been fully prepared, or all that skilled. "You wander across one by mistake?" Boba asked. In their season, bladebacks would roam far beyond their usual territory. They'd attack anything in their path, too. Din had learned that the hard way. No, Din said, rubbing the back of his neck again. I'd heard in a cantina in Mos Eisley that some local moisture farmers were paying 50 pegats a head for bladeback skins. I went hunting for one. Boba whistled. Din nodded and grimaced. Now he knew that hunting bladebacks after the rains was almost fatally stupid, but he hadn't known that then. It went about as well as you think it did, he said. I didn't have any Beskar armor back then except my helmet. The rest of my kit was all Durasteel. It didn't hold up well against a bladeback. The boar Din had found in the sands had been old, its tough hide crossed with scars. Din had thought back then that an old boar would have been easier to catch and kill than a young one. He'd been wrong. He'd driven the boar into a narrow canyon with a flamethrower, then had tried to kill it with his Verd knife. The bladeback boar, perhaps understandably, had objected to this plan and charged him. Din still didn't remember much of that fight.
Pain, desperation, the sound the blade back had made when Dan, half-dead underneath its feet, had finally found a weak spot in its tough hide and had driven his knife into its jaw. The blood that had poured over both of them, Dan and the boar, as they'd struggled in the sands. The boar probably would have killed him if a party of White Bantha raiders hadn't been passing through the canyon from the other end. They'd heard both the boar and Dan screaming and had come to finish the boar off. The White Bantha's chieftain, Aven, had taken pity on Dan and dragged him back to the White Bantha's camp, and there he'd stayed for months while his ribs healed, while the gashes left by the bladeback's tusks scarred over and the White Bantha's young warriors, Asaf, Anustak, and Ahaza, had taught Dan how to survive in the desert. I wonder how they're all doing, Dan thought absently. He hadn't heard from the White Bantha since he'd left to rejoin his covert. All of the young warriors who'd taught Dan how to properly hunt a bladeback, how to travel through the desert, find water, stalk a canyon crate, were probably elders of the tribe by now. If they lived, Dan thought. Life in the desert was hard. Not every Tuscan warrior made it to become an elder. Dan shook his head, clearing away those thoughts, too. What did you say about detonating a rocket inside the Sarlacc? Dan asked.
Ganajaro?
I was the same as a kid. I had no sense. But the White Bantha were impressed that I'd tried to take a blade back on and let me stay with them for a while. Boba snorted, shaking his head. Haven't done anything like that since, have you? Din thought about flying into the crate dragon's mouth and resolved to never tell Boba that story. I've had close calls, he said. But not because of my own stupidity. Mostly. Except for this, he thought. Most of Din's more recent injuries had come out of bad circumstance. A strong enemy, a desperate fight. Even flying into the crate dragon's mouth had come from desperation rather than recklessness or a young warrior's pride. Din hadn't wanted to do it. He'd just done it because he hadn't seen another way to bring the dragon down. The only really stupid thing Dan had done lately was keep the truth from Boba. Boba was thinking it, too. Dan could see it in his face, the way his eyes roamed over Din's face and the collar of his shirt, where Din still had bruises bitten against his collarbones. Dan flushed faintly, but pushed through it and cleared his throat. Mostly, he repeated. I try to look before I leap. Like you did last night? Boba asked. His tone was mild. It had been mild out in the desert, too. But he was still angry. Din could hear it, like the sound of claws scraping against bare stone. Boba's anger pressed against him. Din could feel it. He had to push down the urge to apologize again, to show Boba his belly. We need to talk about it, Din thought. He could do that. He could face this head-on, like he'd faced the crate dragon, like he'd faced Strill. Last night was... I panicked, Din said, frankly. There wasn't any point in skirting around it. I didn't handle it well, Din said. Telling me that you were Darmanda, Boba asked, expression pulling in. Well, that, Din admitted. He'd handled it well enough, Din thought. He'd managed to tell Paz, had even managed to tell Paz why, and he'd managed to tell Boba too. But I didn't know that I could be this Mandalore. That surprised me. It scared you, Boba said. Din, reluctantly, nodded. I won't lie, he thought. Not the word, Din added, though it felt like trying to pull one of his own teeth out by hand. But the way you looked at me. Din cleared his throat again and made himself keep talking. I am not the Mandalore, he said. I don't have any reason to want to be. And even if I did want to
lead other Mandalorians. I can't anymore.
Because you're Darmanda.
Din's skin prickled. Yes, he said. Because I'm Darmanda.
Boba studied Din for a minute, inscrutable. Din tried not to squirm away from the scrutiny. He felt naked, even with clothes on, felt flayed to the bone, like Boba could see through Din's shirt and skin and ribs to the hollow ache in the middle of Din's chest.
You really don't want to talk about this, do you? Boba observed.
I'm tired of talking, Din snapped, curling his fingers around the edge of his cup so hard the pottery creaked. I'm tired of...
He made himself stop, words burning in the back of his mouth.
Boba let him fume for a minute, face impassive.
Din pushed a breath out through his nose.
I am tired, he started again, fighting for control. Of going around and around in circles about all of this. I've had the same conversation 3 times in the last week.
4, actually. I told Cobb Vanth first.
What conversation?
Din gestured between them.
This conversation, he said. The Darmanda conversation.
What was left of Boba's eyebrows climbed towards his forehead.
You told Cobb Vanth that you're Darmanda.
Din nodded.
I told him first, actually, he said. He was the easiest person to tell. Vanth, with his sturdy cheerfulness, his watchful eyes.
He would have made a good Mandalorian, too, Din thought.
The thought surprised him. It hadn't ever been his job to decide which of a year's crop of foundlings would thrive under the creed or not. Din had never been expected to recruit or bolster the tribe's numbers. He'd never judged a foundling's trial or put a young warrior through their paces to decide whether that warrior would fit in best with the rest of the covert. But Vanth would have been a good Mandalorian. Like Fennec. The thoughts were odd ones to have. Din tucked them away to examine later and focused his attention back on Boba, whose incredulity had faded and been replaced by a look of vague irritation.
Din scowled.
Don't, he warned. It wasn't...
I told him because we were talking about it, that's all. I needed to tell someone.
Why were you talking about being Darmanda? What does Vanth know about being a Mandalorian?
Nothing, really, Din admitted. Vanth hadn't even understood the significance of Boba's armor, and he'd worn it for years.
And it wasn't...
We were talking about the Aha.
Vanth was explaining it to me. He was explaining different words and what they meant.
Ah, said Boba, expression clearing.
He told you about the Dalaha.
Yes, Din said, wary.
He didn't want to spill any of Vanth's secrets by accident, but Boba was sharp.
How do you know the word?
I pay attention, Boba said dryly.
How long did you spend on Tatooine when you were with the White Bantha?
Less than 2 years, said Din.
And how often did you come by Jabba's looking for work?
Not very often, Din admitted. I was young, unestablished, and Din hadn't liked it here.
The Tatooine of the White Bantha had not been the same as the Tatooine ruled by Jabba the Hutt, and Din had been keenly aware of the difference. The White Bantha had lived, still lived, under the suns and the stars. They worked for their food. They hunted and fought and drifted all over the desert, free as the wind. Jabba's Tatooine had been a planet of closed doors and dark hallways, greed and fear and pain. Din had taken a few jobs from the worm to scrape together enough credits to buy his way off Tatooine, but he hadn't wanted to stick around long enough to get folded into Jabba's court. Boba hummed in understanding.
I was here for years, he said. The eating was good around Jabba.
He meant that there had always been jobs, that there had always been credits to go around.
Din nodded.
People like Cobb Vanth are quiet enough about their network, Boba continued. But if you've been around long enough, and if you've got eyes, you pick up what you can. Slaves are everywhere. Were everywhere, Din thought. Boba had started to change that. But Din still nodded, slowly, processing that information. So, how much do you actually know about Vance Network? Boba smiled. More than he wants me to know, probably. But enough. Don't tell him that, Din muttered, loosening his grip on his cup. That'll make him nervous. So what? Vanth told you about the Dalahra and you?
Told him that I understood, said Din steadily.
He said that the Dalahra were people who'd forgotten what they were.
You didn't forget, though, Boba pressed.
Din's mouth twisted. No, he said, I didn't, but the concept sounded close enough, and I needed to tell someone.
Why? Boba asked. His dark eyes were fixed on Din's face.
Din swallowed. So I could tell the people that I needed to tell, he said. Pause, my tribe, you. I should have told you weeks ago.
Boba opened his mouth, but Din rushed to cut him off.
I should have, Din insisted before Boba could say anything else. It was something that you should have known before you agreed to make any deals with me, before we came to any of our arrangements. It's a matter of honor, you can't...
Din, Boba said, fitting the word in before Din could finish his thoughts.
I would have made a deal with you anyway, even if you'd told me.
But you would have known that I was Darmanda, Din said, confused again. That I didn't have any honor.
Boba made a rough, growling sound.
You have your honor, he said. Being Mandalorian has nothing to do with it.
The words struck Din between the eyes and left him stunned. He stared at Boba, uncomprehending.
That's not true, Din managed. That's the whole point of the creed is to keep a warrior honorable. I broke the creed, so...
So nothing, Boba growled. You...
Boba stopped himself with great effort, pushing a breath through his teeth.
I have never, he said, fighting to keep his voice even, thought that you were honorable because you were a Mandalorian.
Din's whole body froze.
I decided that you were honorable, Boba continued, voice softening, because you showed me that you were honorable, trustworthy. You showed me that you'd keep your word.
But, Din started. His tongue felt heavy in his mouth. He didn't understand.
Not all Mandalorians are honorable, said Boba quietly. Tor Vizsla was a liar and a murderer. Gar Saxon sold his people out to the Empire. Pre Vizsla let a Sith take over his entire planet because they wanted power. Bo-Katan Kryze stood against her own sister. Did she tell you that?
No, said Din, latching onto the part of the conversation that he could understand.
Bo-Katan fought against her sister? The one who was the Duchess?
Bo-Katan was part of Death Watch, he remembered.
If you don't trust Kryze because she was Death Watch, you shouldn't trust me either, Din said. You shouldn't...
Boba huffed.
You're not really Death Watch, he said.
Din stared at him.
Boba had said that he was Death Watch less than a full day ago.
Boba grimaced, catching the direction of Din's thoughts.
I jumped to conclusions yesterday, he said. I don't like surprises.
He likes to be in control.
And, Boba continued, before Din could voice any of his other thoughts, even if your tribe started out as Death Watch, I don't think you are anymore. Why not? Din asked. How can you be sure?
Like I said, the Kirtzad of my father's day, they show their faces. There was no rule against taking off one's helmet, showing your face. They didn't have a creed, not really, but most of them followed the Resulnare, or at least the parts of it that they liked.
Din's brow furrowed. The Resulnare, he repeated. He'd heard the word before, but he didn't know what it meant.
You said that before. You said that the creed was the Resulnare.
Boba's grimace deepened.
Like I said, he muttered. I jumped to conclusions. Your creed can't be the Resulnare. I didn't realize until you told me that you were Darmanda and why, but...
Boba stopped, too. It was a relief to watch Boba struggle with choosing the right words just as much as Din did, if Din was being honest with himself. Boba's clear struggle, clear discomfort, put Din on more even footing.
Neither of us knows what we're talking about, Din thought wryly. The realization was almost comforting.
What is the Resulnare? Din asked. Why did you think that it was the same thing as my creed?
Boba took a deep breath.
The six actions, he said, still quiet. It was a code of behavior for Mandalorians. My father's father, Jester Mareel, based his creed off of it. Death Watch followed the Resulnare as much as they followed anything, though they discarded the parts that didn't let them do whatever they wanted. I don't think they swore to it, not like you seem to have sworn to your creed. No one who broke the Resulnare was banished from their clans.
Do you know them, Din asked, the six actions? Did your father teach them to you?
Boba's answering smile was bitter.
No, he said. He didn't teach me. My father, by the time I was old enough to learn about Mandalore, about where he'd come from, he was Darmanda, too. He never said the word to me, Boba added, catching the horror that had flashed across Din's face. But by the time we lived on Kamino, he no longer saw himself as Mandalorian.
Din flinched. He didn't mean to, but he couldn't help it.
The civil wars, Boba continued, staring off over the desert, were not kind to my father. War's not kind to anyone, not really. But the true Mandalorians, they won against Kirtzad once, at a cost. That was when Tor Vizsla murdered my father's father for the first time. His birth father, before Jester Mareel found him.
Din took a deep breath, too, steadying himself, and said, "Tell me what happened." Boba finally looked away from the desert. His gaze was searching. Din resisted the urge to hunch his shoulders and hide, to tuck the vulnerable parts of himself away. I need to know this, Din thought. It's not just Jango Fett's history. It's not Boba's. It's mine, too. It's Mandalorian history, and I should have been taught it. If Din could settle on nothing else, he could settle on that, at least. They should have. Din stopped himself. His thoughts were starting to turn in that circular pattern again, that cycle that ended with him half mad with panic and bolting for the open sky. I don't have my jetpack. Din took a breath. He didn't want to push. If Boba didn't want to talk about what had happened to his father, Din would understand. He hated talking about the Separatist attack on his first home planet. Some things just hurt too much, left a wound too deep to ever heal properly. The best thing to do with a wound like that was to bury it. Forget about it, let it scar over on its own, as much as it would scar, and then avoid thinking about it to avoid tearing it open again. Do you remember them? Din asked instead, giving Boba room to shift the conversation if he wanted to.
The six actions. Any of them.
Boba frowned a little, eyes dark with concentration. Not all of them, he said, faintly apologetic. Like I said, my father, by the time I was old enough to learn his trade, he'd given up on being Mandoad. I remember... He trailed off, gathering his thoughts. Didn't let him. There's something about Beskar Gam, which I think is where your tribe got its idea, Boba said eventually, brows drawn together. And there's... Arnov, Alit, something about the Mandalore. Din tensed before he could stop himself. Boba caught it anyway and closed his mouth, shrugged with one shoulder. There was a man, Boba said quietly, on Kamino. Skirata. He was... It mattered a lot to him. Manda Cartel, Mandalorian knowledge. He'd throw it at anyone who came within 10 feet of him. He would have taught me if I'd thought to ask. But I didn't care what anyone who wasn't my father thought, and I didn't want to learn anything from anybody but him. I'd probably heard the Rotalnari a few times. It's set up in a rhyme, so even kids can learn it. But I never paid enough attention to commit it to memory. Arnov, Din repeated, tasting the word. He pushed aside his discomfort with the idea of a Mandalore. Din wasn't wearing the darksaber here at Bo's table. He didn't have to think about it. What's that mean? I know elite, clan, family. It means self-defense, said Boba. Fighting to protect your life, your clan's life. Din nodded. He understood that. We had that too, he said. He committed the word to memory, even though he wasn't Mandalorian anymore. It was something Din could teach Grogu, at least. That way Grogu could choose for himself what he wanted to be. Who he wanted to be. That was part of the creed, protecting the rest of the tribe. So your Allure got something right, Boba offered, though his mouth had twisted. Din scowled and fought down the urge to stand up in his Allure's defense. She wouldn't appreciate it, not now. You said there was a part in it about Beskar Gam, Din pressed. Wearing armor? Wearing Beskar armor, Boba confirmed. His mouth was still twisted unhappily. But even among my father's people, the true Mandalorians, he said, they showed their faces. Some more than others, but the other Mandos I grew up around, Skirata, that bastard Val, Bavodu Rav, the rest, they all would take their buckets off, didn't matter who was around. You said that you couldn't take yours off at all? Din shook his head. Not in front of another living being, he said. That was the creed we swore. Boba was silent. Not your parents? Din hadn't had any Mandalorian parents, but he shook his head. Your kids, Boba pressed. Din shook his head again. Your lovers? No, Din said. His voice had gone hoarse. His hands were tied around his cup of calf again. And Din didn't know if he was angry or afraid. No, Boba, I wasn't supposed to take it off at all. That, said Boba, tone firm, is not the Rezalnare. But it is the way of the Mandalore, said Din quietly. That's what we were taught, anyway. I think, he thought, looking down at the cup, at the way the surface of the calf shivered in time with the tremors in Din's hand. That I'm angry. He shut his eyes against it. Why weren't we taught any of this? The six actions, the civil wars, any of it? Why hadn't the Allure told them? Why hadn't any of the elders, the ones who'd been from Mandalore or Concordia or other Mandalorian outposts and coverts, taught this to the foundlings? Din, Boba started. I am tired, Din thought. Of learning about Mandalorians by accident. By rumor, by mistake, by a slip of the tongue in conversation. Din was tired of other people throwing out little comments or scraps of knowledge. He was tired of being caught by surprise. Tell me about the true Mandalorians, Din said. He opened his eyes and met Boba's. Tell me about Death Watch. Tell me about the Civil Wars. About... About what happened to your father, if it isn't too much. Bobo looked back. The hard line of his mouth had softened some. Why? He asked. Din thought about that for a little while. Bobo let him, taking a sip of calf, going back to looking out over the desert. Din appreciated that almost more than he could say. The space to think about things after the noise and chaos and closeness of last night. Because it's important, Din finally said, coming to an answer that he liked. I should know this already, Din said. I was Mandalorian. For most of my life, I was Mandalorian. It's my history. It's something that I should have been taught. Why? Din thought, anger bubbling slowly through his chest, lodging in his throat. Weren't any of us taught about it? He didn't understand. What was the point of keeping all this back from foundlings? He'd been so grateful to find himself among the Mandalorians, to have been rescued, protected, to have been taught how to protect himself so that he'd never be at a droid's mercy again. He would have devoured any of this knowledge. Stories of old Mandalore, stories of its people and its wars, he would have learned it all and he would have glowed with pride to be included. To have that history is something he could claim for himself after losing everything else when the Separatists had attacked. Were our teachers afraid that we'd be scared? That all the talk of bloodshed, of Mandalorians tearing each other apart, would scare foundlings away before they could take their trial and swear the creed? A darker, uglier thought had grown in the corner of Din's mind like rot in a wound. Were they afraid that if we knew that there were other creeds, Din couldn't help but wonder, that we wouldn't swear to theirs? He didn't want to think that way. Not about his tribe, his people. Not about the Allure, who'd always done her best to listen to Din, to give him good advice. Not about Tosho, who'd given Din his first knife and blaster, had taught him how to use them. About Wiran and his patience with Din in the beginning, when Din hadn't known how to throw a punch or fall the right way. Not even about Prickly Pallas. Pallas kept us fed, Din thought. He brought us Beskar. He always had Biba fruit in his pockets for us because he wanted to make sure we had something sweet to eat. To think that any of them had lied, had kept the truth, or at least some of the truth, back from Din and the other foundlings, cut Din down to the bone. Bobo looked at Din, at the remnants of the meal shared between them. Din couldn't parse his entire expression. Bobo was sad, Din thought. Angry. A dozen things all at once. All right, he finally said. All right, Jerrica, I can. Where do you want me to start? Din swallowed. I don't know. I don't know anything, it feels like, Din said. I knew Beskar Gam, and I knew that we came from Mandalore, and that Mandalorian kings rode mythosaurs once, but that's it. Bobo studied Din again. All right, he repeated. He ran a hand over his scarred head, eyes going somewhere distant. I'll start from the beginning. I don't have a complete history, he warned. I've got pieces. Larger pieces than you do, but still. Din spread his hands. I'm listening, he said. And Bobo nodded. And then Bobo began to speak. By the time Bobo had finished talking, the Shuka had long grown cold. Din had finished his calf and switched to water, then to Tihar once Bobo had stopped talking about Mandalorian history in general terms and had started to talk about his father. And your dad taught you all of this? Din asked. The suns had passed the height of Boba's tower and were slanting towards the opposite horizon, and Bobo had had to stop talking a few times to type out a message to Fennec on his datapad, assuring her that he and Din were both fine. Din's head was spinning. Bobo had told him so much. He hadn't had an entire history for Mandalore either, but he'd started all the way back in the days of Mandalore I, who'd led his people to Mandalore from the core and settled there. I knew about the wars, Din thought, trying to process everything Boba had told him. Din hadn't had any specifics, not really. Boba had known songs about Sith wars and wars against the Republic, wars between one clan and another, but Din had known that Mandalorians had always fought. But I didn't know about any of the rest of it. Collapse and chaos, clans fracturing apart, Mandalorians scattering across the galaxy. Living in fear, living in hiding, rising again, then falling. The Old Republic had turned on Mandalore once and broken its people. The Empire hadn't been the first to try and glass the place. My dad taught me some, Boba allowed. He'd had more Tihar than Din. He'd looked like he'd needed it once he started talking about his father. What had happened on Quarter Six and what had happened after. If he'd had a glass of this, and Boba raised his cup of Tihar, or if one of the others on Kamino caught him in just the right mood, he'd talk about Mandalore. He'd sing the songs he learned from his father. I did my best to remember them. But he didn't teach you all of it. No, said Boba. He didn't. He didn't want me to end up like him, an outcast. So he kept it to himself. Most of what I know I went looking for later. Mandalorian history is not as hard to dig up as Jedi history. Din bit his tongue. Mandalorian history was plenty hard to dig up from where he was sitting. He still couldn't wrap his head around some of it. Darksabers and alliances and wars and betrayals. Din rubbed his forehead. Our way is simpler, he thought. Din's creed was a sword, straight and sharp and true. Some of these other Mandalorians. So, Boba said, gesturing again with his cup. Now you know. What I know, anyway. I'm sure Her Highness swallowed a history textbook or six as a kid. Din snorted. Boba's story had not been very flattering to House Kreese. Now that Din knew a bit about Duchess Satine and what she tried to make Mandalore, Din couldn't help but agree with Boba at least a little. If you don't want to fight, don't fight, Din thought. He couldn't understand why anyone who called themselves a Mandalorian wouldn't want to fight, but Boba's story had confirmed what Din had been thinking to himself ever since he'd met Bo-Katan Kreese. There's more than just one kind of Mandalorian. The planet in Boba's stories, Mundayim, had once been home to millions. Not all of them had fought. For every Mandalorian warrior, there was a Mandalorian farmer, a Mandalorian shepherd, an engineer, an artisan. Some Mandalorians had been all of those, and some had been none at all. There's more than just one kind of Mandalorian. So even though I can't imagine not wanting to fight, there were Mandalorians who didn't want to, and that was their decision. But Satine, Din thought, had gotten it wrong by trying to keep everyone from fighting. Din had never ruled a planet, but he'd lived with other Mandalorians. Sometimes the only way to prevent real bloodshed down in the covert was to spar or scuffle, to throw a punch. The Stars knew that sometimes the only reason Din hadn't killed Paz, or Paz Din, was because they'd been able to clear a space in the covert somewhere and kick the cark out of each other without anybody interfering. Do you think she thinks that I know all of this already? Din asked. He'd finished his most recent cup of Tihar a bit ago, so he peered into the bottom of his cup. Do most Mandalorian kids learn this? Boba only shrugged. That I couldn't say, he said. My upbringing wasn't traditional. Din snorted. His hadn't been either, apparently. Boba sighed. I think, he started slowly, that Kreese probably thinks that you know more than you do. Your covert, your people, left Mandalore a long time ago. Kreese probably thinks your elders taught you at least the history. Mandatorim, Mandakote. Din knew those words now. Mandatorim, Mandalorian righteousness. A Mandalorian had the right to what they could win with their hands, with their cunning and their skill in battle. And Mandakote, that the righteousness and glory of one Mandalorian was the glory of all of them. Boba had said that the old Mandalorian kings had believed in all of that. Now that he knew what Death Watch was, Din could see where they'd gotten some of their ideas. Mandatore Mandacote sounded like an excuse, almost. A reason to march out into the galaxy and fight. It definitely explains a lot about Bo-Katan. Boba, already serious. He couldn't help but be serious talking about all of this, Din thought, which had eased the sting of some of what Boba had said. Boba was being honest. Hardened further. Din, said Boba, you need to be careful with Bo-Katan. It was what Fennec had said just hours ago, except she'd warned Din to be careful around Boba. Din startled. He started, but Boba held up a hand. I'm serious, said Boba. House Kryze, they were never House Vizsla, but they have their own power. The ones left, anyway. Bo-Katan Kryze is not someone to underestimate, and she is not your ally. We're Naru-Dare, Din said. He understood that idea a little better now, too. Boba, she's set against the Remnants. I am, too. And you're not going to abandon her quest, are you? Din shrugged. I'm not going to abandon yours, either, he said. I can... There might be a day when Kryze decides she doesn't want me around. I'll deal with that when it happens. Boba stared at him, expression opening. Din flushed. What? He muttered. Nothing, Boba said. It's just... You're very honest. Usually, he added. Din winced a little at the reprimand, even as he straightened up at the praise. I am sorry, Din said. He'd said it in the desert, but he could say it here, too. I didn't mean... I wasn't trying to keep anything from you, he said. It was just... Complicated? Boba offered, wry. Din shrugged a little. Yes, it was complicated. Getting more information about Mandalore hadn't made anything any less complicated. Maybe that's why our elders never told us any of this, Din thought. They made the Kryze sound so simple. It was complicated, Din allowed, willing to take Boba's piece if it was offered. I can understand that, said Boba slowly. Din watched Boba's face. But you're still angry, Din said. Boba shrugged. I've been honest with you, Din pointed out, feeling needled. Except when you haven't been, Boba returned. Then seemed to realize that he'd given himself away anyway. Din leaned back. He wasn't satisfied not to hear this, not to hear that Boba was still angry, but he was relieved to have it out in the open. Fine, Boba muttered, frowning hard. I am angry. That I'm Darmanda. No, said Boba, with so much emphasis that Din couldn't help but startle. I don't care about that. I wish you had told me sooner, Boba said. The admission came grudgingly. Boba was still frowning. It would just have been good to know, he said. But I don't care that you're Darmanda. I told you. Your honor. It's yours. Whatever creed you swore or broke doesn't matter to me. Din's skin prickled. He had to fight not to put his hackles up, to growl at Boba like an angry Anuba. Then, what are you angry about? I'm angry that you think it matters to me, Boba said. That you... Boba shook his head. What? Din pushed. Boba looked at him, expression dark. I'm angry, he said, voice low. Because I can't help but think that maybe you've been punishing yourself for being Darmanda, and I didn't know about it. Punishing my... Oh... Din said, realizing what Boba was talking about all at once. Din swallowed. We did talk about punishment, he said quietly. They had. But no, I haven't been. He stopped. Boba just kept looking, steady and bleak. We talked about punishment, Boba agreed, just as quietly as Din. But only punishment for broken rules, rules we both agreed on. I did not. and he put so much feeling behind the word that Din flinched like Boba had shouted it. Agree to punish you for breaking a creed I don't believe in. For one that I think is wrong and cruel. I wasn't... It's not been about that, Din said, trying to make Boba understand. He'd never... Din hadn't started this, hadn't allowed Boba to show him this, any of this, because Din had wanted to be punished for breaking the creed. What's it been about, then? Boba asked, challenging. Din shook his head, frustrated. A sliver of fear had lodged itself in his throat. If Boba was angry, if Boba thought that Din had been tricking him, had been using Boba to get something more than what Boba wanted to give... I haven't, Din thought. He tried to force himself to breathe, to speak from his head, not the wild fear in his heart. The creed, Din said, choosing his words like they were made of something delicate and breakable, something that could collapse if the wind took them wrong. It's not something you can punish me for, he said. Why not? Boba asked. Din thought about it for a second. Because you're not... You never swore it, Din said. Only my tribe can punish me for breaking it. It's not something that an outsider can enforce. Boba could no more cast Din out, brand him an Arrueti, than Bo-Katan Kryze could. They were Mandalorians, but not Din's Mandalorians. Their creeds and ways were their own. Only another child of the Watch can punish me, Din said, turning the thought over. And they've already meted out punishment. You heard Paz. I'm Darmanda, cut off from the covert. That's the price. And it was a small price if it meant that Grogu was going to grow up safe and happy, protected. It was hardly a punishment at all. It hurt, but it was not a fatal injury. It was something that Din could live with. Din set his jaw, lifted his chin. It's not something you can punish me for, he said firmly. Then, with as much conviction as he could muster, and it's not something I'd ask you to punish me for. Boba watched Din for a moment. The tension was awful, went skittering down the back of Din's hands, his spine. But Din held his ground. He wasn't... The worst part, Din thought, is that I understand why Boba might feel that way. Din had jumped into what Boba had offered him head first. Boba had talked him through several parts of it, but Din had never objected. Din had stepped into Boba's arms like he'd stepped off the edge of Boba's rooms. Like Din hadn't been worried about hitting the bottom. But Din hadn't meant to. He hadn't... None of this, Din said softly, gesturing at himself, at the corner of the room where somewhere below them Paz and the Verdike and the Foundlings were staying, is your fault. And it's not something I ever thought to ask you to punish me for. That's not how the creed works. Punishment implied penance. At least the form of punishment Boba offered. The flogging, the pain, the wrenching and liberating loss of control implied penance. Din knew that. Boba had never really talked about what punishment with him would entail, but Din could guess. If Din broke one of the rules he'd agreed to at the beginning of all of this, Boba would punish him, and once he was done, Din would be forgiven. The creed, Din continued, aware that he had Boba's attention fixed on him. It's not something I can take 20 lashes for and then be fine with it. It's not something I can ever atone for. And, Din hurried to add, as Boba's expression darkened again, I knew that when I swore to follow it. However else you feel about it, I knew what I was agreeing to. Did you? Boba shot back, tone barbed. We just spent hours talking about what you didn't know, what you should have known if your elders had bothered to teach you like they should have. This isn't their fault either, Din snapped, bristling. He couldn't help it. He couldn't imagine that anyone in his tribe, the Allure, Wirren, Tosho, Palace, would have done this to Din on purpose. Paz wouldn't do it to his foundlings, Din thought. I wouldn't do it to Grogu. Din had already done his best to commit what he'd learned from Boba to memory. He'd made Boba sing Mandalore the Preserver 3 times because Din had thought that the song would make Grogu laugh. Boba scowled, shoulders tense, but he was clearly trying not to fight, just like Din was. The problem, Din thought, is that we're both Mandalorians. Or, I was. And Mandalorians want to fight. Din doubted that 30 years of instinct and training would disappear just because he was Darmanda. Din wasn't exactly living a retiring life. His Mandalorian instincts had kept him alive so far in Boba's service. He was still going to need them, assuming Boba didn't throw Din out over this. That would be a punishment, Din thought, swallowing. Anything else. Anything else Din could take. He just had to figure out how to make Boba understand that. Din's nerves twisted. He had an idea. Probably a stupid idea, he thought. It was the sort of idea that Boba might say was reckless. Ganajaro. But it was the only idea that Din had, the only way he could make Boba understand. Words, Din could talk until his breath ran out, but Boba was a Mandalorian. Mandalorians understood actions, Din thought. Words can be lies, but actions show the truth. Nerves rising to a pitched, frantic note, Din pushed himself away from the work table, stood up, wobbled, and sank to his knees as gracefully as he could manage. He had done this on Strill's ship, and it had worked. It had cut through the noise in Boba's head, through whatever he'd been thinking or wrestling with. Maybe it would work again. Din straightened his back and put his hands on his knees, then looked up at Boba. "This," Din said, "isn't a punishment. Not to me. I've never thought it was. I've never wanted it to be." Boba stayed silent. But he hadn't jumped to his feet and hauled Din up, and he hadn't started shouting, and he hadn't taken on that desolate look he'd had when he'd learned that Din might have been Death Watch. Din took another breath and made himself keep talking. "I do feel guilty," he said. "But not for breaking the creed. Guilt because I didn't tell you and it hurt you. Because I wasn't brave enough to face it head on. For pretending to be Mandalorian even though I'm not anymore. But not for breaking the creed." Boba was still quiet. Fear burned in the back of Din's throat. He couldn't tell what Boba was thinking. Din had gotten decently good at reading Boba, but the last few days... He didn't really know me at all, Din thought. Everything Boba had thought that he'd known about Din had been wrong. Maybe Din hadn't known Boba all that well either. "If you want me to leave," Din said, keeping his voice steady with every scrap of strength and will he'd ever had. "I will. If you want me to leave Tatooine, I will. I can..." "Karking stars, Din," Boba said, his voice rough with rust. He'd said that before. "Karking stars, Din," when Din had tried to explain the creed to him. "I'm not going to throw you out just because we had a misunderstanding." Din froze. Boba sighed and scrubbed a hand down his face. He looked tired again, despite the food and the sleep they'd both had. And another sliver of guilt wormed its way underneath Din's skin. "I am angry," Boba admitted. "I thought that with Mandalore gone, maybe all of Death Watch had gone too. That it was over. Then you..." He stopped, shook his head. "I am angry," he repeated. "But just because I'm angry doesn't mean I'm going to throw you out. I'm not a tyrant." "No," Din said after a second, struggling to parse all of that. "No, you're not. It's just..." He trailed off again. "It's just that your creed has no room for mistakes," Boba finished. Din, reluctantly, nodded. He hadn't ever really thought about it, but Boba was right. "I am not your creed," Boba said. I'm just a man, and men aren't Beskar." "No," Din allowed, relaxing a little. It was ground they'd covered before. They hadn't covered it well, exactly, but they had talked about it. And Din could grit his teeth and get through it if it meant that the awful tension still tight in his shoulders dissipated, if it would get that tired look out of Boba's eyes. "So, what happens next, then? If you're not gonna ask me to leave?" Boba did soften some at that. "I don't know," said Boba honestly. "What do you want to happen next?" Din drew back, startled. "What?" Boba gestured between them. "What," he repeated, "do you want to happen next?" "Right now?" Din asked. He couldn't. Boba had thrown him. He hadn't expected the conversation to turn around this fast. Maybe that's why he said it, Din thought, catching the sharp gleam in Boba's eyes. "I don't know what I want to happen next," Din admitted. He looked down at his hands, which he'd curled tightly over his knees. I don't want to leave. I want to stay. I meant what I said. Your quest, I'll help you." "The shadow you're under," Din thought, but didn't say. "I'll help with that, too. Whether you want to be your father or you want to get so far away from him that the only fat anyone knows is you, I'll help." "Why?" Boba asked. "Because I love you," Din thought. It was a clear, bright, easy thought, warm and steady in the middle of Din's chest. He'd had the thought for days now, but had never let it fully form. He had been afraid to name it. There was no point in being afraid, not now. Din didn't say that, of course. He didn't say it. He could listen and learn from his mistakes, and Fennec had warned him. I can't make Boba choose between what I need and what he needs, Din thought. I can't distract him from his quest. But Din could hold his own feelings in his heart. He could think of himself as Boba's Talvod, his blood brother, if Boba would take him. Din settled deeper onto the backs of his heels and looked up at Boba. Boba still hadn't moved. "Because I keep my word," Din said. "And because you're right. Maybe a little." "Maybe a little," Boba said, though the corners of his mouth had turned up in a small, almost unwilling smile. "You made some good points about the creed," Din allowed. He held up a hand, showed Boba the space between his finger and his thumb. "A few good points. Things that I should think about. Things I should have thought about, maybe." Maybe Din should have thought harder before swearing the creed. Maybe he should have asked more questions, demanded to know more about what the elders had wanted him to do. He hadn't, and now Din had to live with what he'd done, but maybe Boba wasn't entirely wrong. Boba was quiet for another minute. "I don't," Boba said, "want you to be blindly loyal, Jarka, to me or anyone, to the Rezlnare, to a creed." "It wouldn't be blind loyalty," Din said. "You'd look before you leapt?" Boba asked. His tone was light, which Din had learned was more dangerous than Boba's outright anger. Din's jaw worked while he chewed on what to say. "I've already leapt," he could say. "I did it weeks ago." Din had jumped the morning he'd woken up with the taste of Boba's skin on his tongue, with the memory of Boba's cock inside him. The first night he'd come up here and gotten on his knees. It was too late for Boba to talk about Din wanting to look before he went hurtling off the edge of a cliff. Din had already jumped. "I trust you," Din said. It was a simple thing to say, and a simpler thing to offer. It landed like a punch, anyway. Din saw Boba's eyes widen. Din spread his hands. He'd left his Beskar in a pile by Boba's bed, his weapons scattered all over the room. His jetpack was out of reach. But this time, Din didn't feel trapped. Sore, yes. Hurt deep in his chest, the word Darmanda still a wound. And Din was angry, too. Not at Boba, but still angry. But not trapped. "This is important to you," said Boba, after a moment, his voice soft. He wasn't just talking about Din's loyalty now. He was talking about this, about Din on his knees, about the warmth and trust and affection Din had found here with Boba. About the other things, too, the darker things. Pain and pleasure and the feeling of a flogger licking across the meat of Din's shoulders, Boba's hand digging bruises into his hip. The other things Boba had promised him. The Wishok silk and the reed canes, the restraints, the blindfolds. Din. "I want to try it," Din thought. "I want to know what works and what doesn't. I want to know that about myself." "Isn't it?" Boba pressed. "It is," Din said. "Why?" That stopped Din cold. "It's important to you?" Din hazarded. Boba snorted. "Try again, Jerrica," he said. "I'm not the only one at the table here." "Why," he said, as firmly as he'd ever given Din an order, "does this matter to you?" Din swallowed. At least the endearment meant, at least it meant that Boba was open to what Din was trying to do, open to the idea of continuing their arrangement. "I hope." Because I like it," Din admitted quietly. He couldn't hold Boba's gaze, not for this part. "Because I need it. It's..." What Boba did to Din, the flogging, the clamps, the pain, and even the more intimate things, the kissing, the casual familiar touching, the bumping Beskar. "I need it." Boba had been right all those weeks ago, when he'd put his hand around Din's throat in the depths of the palace. "I like it, and it helps me." There was only one answer that Din could give. "I want it," Din said. "I want it. I don't want things," Din said. Before all of this, he'd wanted to provide for the tribe, he'd wanted to get from one planet to another without getting caught in too many dogfights, he'd wanted to spend a night or two a month under Navarro City, surrounded by his people. Now he wanted Paz to get back on his feet, and Paz's kids to grow up somewhere safe, somewhere they didn't have to run every time an unfamiliar shuttle passed overhead. Din wanted Grogu to never have to worry about an Imperial attack again. He wanted to know more about Mandalore. And this. Din wanted this. "I love you," Din thought. "I want you. I want to stay here with you and be whatever you need me to be. I want to bring you even a sliver of the peace you've brought me." Maybe his time on Tatooine had made Din greedy. But he wasn't going to apologize for it, and he wasn't going to let the guilt still prickling in his chest run him over, wasn't going to let it steal more from Din than it already had. Boba was quiet again. Then he said, sounding half wry and half rueful, "We're gonna have to renegotiate some of our rules, Jerrica." Din's laugh was startled out of him. "Yeah," he said, because the neat little arrangement they'd laid out in this very room had gotten so confused, so complicated. "Yeah, we are." "And you're okay with that?" Boba asked. "Are you?" Din challenged. Boba pulled a face. "I can be," he said. "Probably." He's still angry. Din could live with that. "Then I can be too," said Din. "Probably." Boba snorted. "Get up, then," he said. "Unless you want to do it now." Din shrugged. He didn't see why they should wait. "Din," Boba said, though his eyes were black all through. Din's stomach jolted. Relief pooled in Din's belly at the sight. It was proof that Boba wanted this, too. That he wanted it like Din wanted it. It's the middle of the day. Din shrugged, jaw set. So?
So, Boba said, dragging the word out a little. This is different. Not what we usually do.
It's not what we agreed on, he means, Din thought. He and Boba had never agreed to keep their odd little arrangement confined to the evening or the dark, but they'd fallen into the habit. Boba and Din both worked during the day, after all, and they'd agreed to keep their arrangement separate from Boba's business and from Din's business with Boba. That's all gone out the window, Din thought. He and Boba had gotten tangled up in each other's lives now. Maybe that was what friends did. Blood brothers. I can live with that. Are you the king of Tatooine right now? Din asked. Or are you my friend Boba Fett? Boba stared at him. And then, to Din's surprise, he laughed a little, mouth turning up in a reluctant smile. Mirshab, he said, but he said it fondly. The tension in Din's shoulders finally eased. I can be Boba right now, if that's what you need. Din nodded. He straightened his back a little. Boba looked at him. Tell me what you want, Din, he said. Din didn't hesitate. I want you to come here, he said. All right, said Boba, and did.